We're in Psalm 46 tonight, and I was so blessed and so surprised in my studies this week of Psalm 46. So many interesting things, and especially that Psalm 46 is a very prophetic psalm, that the prophetic picture is actually laid out for us just in these few verses in Psalm 46. And I was just blown away to see it, but just really happy about it. I've read Psalm 46 so much because when I do hospital calls many times, the Lord will lay on my heart Psalm 46, because the first verse is that God's a very present help in the time of trouble. And of course, there's in the hospital bed somebody in trouble, and God's a very present help, and that really ministers. And just read it a lot, but never seen the huge prophetic picture here. And we want to just look at that tonight, and it's a beautiful thing. First of all, I'd like to give you some interesting facts about the psalm that are really edifying. Number one is that Psalm 46 and 47 and 48 are like a trinity of psalms, and they're called together the songs of triumph. And so we're going to be looking at triumphal things tonight. We're thankful for that verse in the New Testament that says God always causes us to triumph in Christ Jesus. Always. I love that word, always. Always causes us to triumph in Christ Jesus as we believe in Him and live in His Spirit. That's the truth of it. This psalm was the inspiration for Martin Luther's hymn, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. What a hymn that is. A mighty fortress is our God. You know that one. We could go on singing that. But this was the inspiration. This song is what hit him between the eyes to write that beautiful hymn. Now, what we're going to see tonight here, along with the prophetic picture, is that God is very stable. He's very stable. And a rock to stand on, to hang on to be bolted to be anchored with, our rock, the Lord Jesus. And he shows his stability among two of the most unstable things there are upon the earth. Number one, the weather. The instability of nature. Maybe you saw the pictures on the TV and the news about the poor folks that are in that flood in the Midwest, that big old flood that's going on. And we know that here in California, we have earthquakes. I remember pictures of that overpass that fell on the cars in San Francisco a few years ago. Sherry and I actually have a house out in the desert that was 8 miles from the epicenter of that big 7.4 earthquake a few years back. And had some real stories from our neighbors about how this one neighbor told us that a hole opened up in his front yard big enough to swallow a Volkswagen. And I'm going, man, I'm glad I wasn't there. And I had another friend came in, he was working on our water heater. He's got two huge black eyes. I said, what in the world happened to you? And he says, when the earthquake started, I got scared and ran like mad outside and hit a tree. And yeah, remember that one? And then there was a guy that was in line with me at the bank, and we're talking about the earthquake, and he says that he ran outside with his family, but he just bought a new television set. So he ran in and hugged his television set. I'm not going to let this go, you know, kind of thing. Funny stuff. But anyway, boy, nature, and God is stable through the unstableness of nature for us and the things that come our way. And we can talk about tornadoes and hurricanes and the whole thing. But also in this psalm, our inability to keep stability among the nations. I mean, all the time you're getting scared on TV, or you're not getting scared, but you know, they're trying to scare you. Somebody's, the devil's trying to scare us with North Korea, Islam, the Muslims are coming and all those things, you know. And these things are real. These things are demonically inspired. And so there's a lot of instability among the nations. You'll hear of wars and rumors of wars. And of course, what did Jesus say about that? He says, see that these things don't trouble you. See that these things don't trouble you as you hear of rumors of wars and rumors of wars. And so we'll see God's stability in the unstableness of nature, the unstableness of nations. God is the Lord over all, and he is sovereign, and he has us in the palm of his hand. Okay, a little more about introduction here. Yes, hey, bro, God bless you tonight. Hey, Jesus is coming, man. We're going home. We're going home. What? That's right, man. Amen. And we're going home. Glory to God. Okay. Now, in the introduction of this psalm, let's take a look. It says the chief musician, which is the choir director for the sons of Korah. We've been talking about the sons of Korah the last few weeks and how they were performers, Levitical performers to perform psalms. And then we have a new word that's introduced in the introduction here, a song of Alamoth. Now, if you might have these things in your footnotes or at the head of your psalm, but mine's at the head of my psalm, but it's the word Alamoth. What does Alamoth mean? Well, the Greek rendition of this Alamoth, which would come from the Septuagint translation of the Bible, which is when the Bible is translated into Greek, Old and New Testament. Old first, of course, it was done before the New Testament came out, the Septuagint translation. And what that actually means there is hidden things. And so from the Greek, we get this Alamoth means hidden things. And then from the Hebrew, it's girls or young maidens. And so the way the scholars translate this about this psalm is to be sung with female voices at a higher range. Female voices at a higher range. And so that is just to let you know what Alamoth means in case you were wondering and looking at the introduction of the psalm. Okay, let's begin the psalm, and I'm going to read the first five verses. God is our refuge or our hiding place and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear though the earth be removed. Now, it begins to talk about nature here, earthquake. Though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. And there will be an earthquake like that recorded in the book of Revelation during the tribulation period, when every mountain and every island will be moved out of their place about this mighty earthquake in Revelation 6. Though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, as we saw the floods on TV this week, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah, which is a musical pause, there is a river. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles or the dwelling places of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. We look for the living water from the streams of heaven, where the river of God is, to bring us help in the time of trouble, in the time of need. God shall help her, verse 5, and that right early. The dwelling places of the Lord, and as God comes and blesses and touches us when we are in trouble, he helps. I always love to share my surfing testimony. I was Huntington Beach Pier. I was 7th grade, 13 years old. I lost my board at the break. There weren't leashes at that time. And my board was washed all the way into shore. The waves were, the lifeguard said, 14 foot that day. Huge old waves at Huntington Beach Pier. And I was thinking I was going to die. I began to pant and hyperventilate. And I cried out to the Lord, and the Lord put me on a sandbar. And the water came down to my waist. I was only 5 foot. And the water came down to my waist. I was on a big sandbar. And I didn't know about sandbars then. I just found out from the lifeguards later that Huntington Beach Pier, there's sandbars out there. And I landed on one. And the peace of God came over me, and I knew Jesus was real. Man, was that a great rescue. He's a very present help in the time of trouble, isn't he? Yes, he is. And we call upon his name, and he comes to save us. He comes to rescue us and put us in his hiding place. And a wonderful thing. I want to turn to Isaiah chapter 17 on this. Let's turn to Isaiah 17:4. My personal devotions nowadays are in Isaiah chapter going through the book of Isaiah, and I found in Isaiah 17, just yesterday, this wonderful word from God that I want to give you tonight. Isaiah chapter 17, verse 4. Now, Isaiah 17 is about the destruction of Syria, the destruction of Damascus, which is the capital city of Syria, and also how in that day, it says in verse 4 of Isaiah 17:4, in that day it shall come to pass that the glory of Jacob, that's Israel, shall be made thin, and the fatness of his flesh shall wax lean. And so there's trouble. There's trouble here for Damascus. It's been totally wiped out, and that's prophetic about Damascus. And it says here that in that day, Jacob, or Israel, is going to have problems with food, getting food. The economy's going to be bad. The fatness of his flesh shall be waxing lean. And so, my ears perked up, my spiritual ears, as I read this, thinking about, you know, our economy at this time and those kinds of things that might want to shake us up. But you know what the good part about this is verse 7. It says this, at that day shall a man look to his maker. At that day, you see, a man looks to his maker, because God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in the time of trouble. And they're having trouble. They're having lean times in Israel. And the glory of Israel is waxing thin. And at that time, that's when people look up. Oh yeah. At that day shall a man look to his maker, and his eyes shall have respect to the Holy One of Israel. So when there is trouble in my life, when there are trials and hard times in my life, what happens to me? That's when men look up to their maker. When everything else is kind of shot down, everything else is taken away, and everything else is shaky. Nature's happening. The earthquakes, the floods, the fires, all of it. And the nations are rattling their swords at each other, man. That's when people look up. Just like they always said about World War II, there's no atheists in foxholes. And I remember hearing a guy give his testimony about that. He was at Guadalcanal in the Pacific during World War II, fighting his guts out. And he came to Jesus in his foxhole. He was one of those guys. There's no atheists in foxholes. And he just shared his whole testimony, how God's peace came upon him, and just shared with his heart that he was going to be all right, and how God ministered to him. You see, God is a very present help in the time of trouble. For when trouble comes, that's when men start to look to their maker. And they don't cry mommy, they cry maker. They cry God. God help me. And that's when the Lord can come in and bring peace and bring salvation and actually bring people to himself. And so this is a wonderful thing to see in Isaiah 17 and all through the Bible. And so that's what we have in the first part, the first verse of Psalm 46. Now, let's go back to Psalm 46. We just looked at Isaiah, but we want to go back now to Psalm 46. And in verse 4, it says, as we read again, there is a river, there is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. Well, where is this river? Where does this river begin? We are told clearly about this river in Revelation chapter 22, verses 1 through 5, and let's take a look at that. And this is where we begin to see that Psalm 46 takes on prophetic tones, prophetic tones. And so we go to Revelation 22 and verse 1. Revelation 22. Actually, it's the last chapter in the last book of the Bible. Revelation 22, verse 1. This is the Apostle John receiving a revelation from Jesus himself about heaven and about the throne of God. And it says this in chapter 22, verse 1 of Revelation. He showed me a pure river of water, of life, clear as crystal. You know those days when you can see the bottom from the pier? Or if you've ever gone to Catalina, man, that's a great place to go to see clear water. You can see about 70 feet down and see the bottom from the boat in Catalina. He showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, there was the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse around that river that comes out of the throne of God. There'll be no more curse. The roses won't have thorns on them anymore. But the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him, which lets us know that you'll have duties in heaven. Praise the Lord. You're not going to be sitting on a cloud forever. You might do some of that, but you're going to serve the Lord and have your job in heaven. And let me say, I really believe you're being prepared for that job right now. Yes, you are. God's working in your heart and your mind. You are what you are becoming. And God is going to have you there in heaven, around his throne, doing what you were created to do, and you're going to be most happy about it, because whenever something is doing what it was created to do, it's blessed, and you shall be blessed. His servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. What does that mean? I think that's a spiritual thing to say. You're going to be thinking about Jesus all the time. There'll be no more filth in your mind. No more fiery darts that the devil will put in there and tell you it's from you. Ugly thoughts and horrible things and all the things that go on here at the earth to take us away from the lovely name of Jesus and the blessing and the beauty that goes with it. Your name will be, as it were, on your forehead, thinking in your brain all the time about Jesus Christ. And there shall be no more night there. And they need no candle nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Part of your service to God will be help him to rule and reign here upon the earth, it says in the scriptures. And so you shall reign forever and ever with the Lord Jesus. Now, this is the experience of the river. There is a river that makes glad the city of God. I'm going back and quoting now verse 4 of Psalm 46. There is a river that makes glad the city of God. The New Jerusalem is that city. The New Jerusalem descending out of heaven from God one day, the Bible says. And that place is the dwelling place for the bride of Christ. And that is you, the church, dressed in fine linen, clean and white, which is the righteousness or the righteous acts of the saints. And so Jesus will adorn you with righteousness, and you shall be his bride, and your city will be the New Jerusalem. And so there is a river that proceeds out of the throne of God, and there is a river that shall make glad the city of God. And then it talks about her, doesn't it? It says that God shall help her, and that right early. And God's going to help us. And he's going to be a refuge and a hiding place for us. And it's going to be great to be there at his throne right after what's called in the Bible the rapture of the church. And so the first thing we want to look at tonight in actually three prophetic pictures in this psalm. Three prophetic pictures in this psalm. Number one is the rapture of the church. And it's the next thing on the prophetic calendar. It could happen right now. There is nothing that needs to be fulfilled in Bible prophecy before you and I are snatched out of here. Nothing. Not one thing. And so we are looking for the immediate return of Jesus. In fact, every time I see Jonathan, he moved on me again. There he is. Every time I see Jonathan, he's always saying, you know what, I'll see you later, brother, here, there, or in the air kind of thing. We just don't know when Jesus is coming. He could come right now. I know, we're not going to be talking about it. We're going to be flying about it, aren't we? Yeah! And so we're going to go in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, for the trumpet shall sound, and we shall be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Yeah. Comfort one another with these words. We're to do that. And so wonderful and beautiful is this coming beauty. Now, we're told in the first verse, God is our refuge. He's our hiding place. There is a river, verse 4, flowing out of the throne of God, which makes glad the city of God. And so God is our refuge. Let's turn to Isaiah 26:19. He's our hiding place. Yes, he is. Isaiah 26:19. I love this soliloquy here. I don't know if you've ever seen this before. Maybe you have seen this, and this is so great to read. No, this is all prophecy, written 700 years before Jesus was even born. 700 years. And this is what the prophetic word says. And of course, we're told that Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. We're told that clearly in the New Testament. So it says this in verse 19 of Isaiah 26. Your dead men shall live. Hallelujah. Our dead men shall live. Yes, sirree. Together with my dead body. You know that dead body they put in the tomb? 3 days later, he got up. Oh, yes. Your dead men shall live. Together with my dead body shall they arise. Awake and sing, you that dwell in the dust. For your dew is as the dew of herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead. And then here, an invitation to the rapture of the church. Come, come, my people, enter thou into your chambers and shut your doors about thee. Hide yourself. God is our refuge, our hiding place and strength. Hide yourself, as it were, for a little moment, until the indignation be overpassed, until the tribulation period is over. For behold, the Lord comes out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity, tribulation. The earth also shall disclose her blood and shall no more cover her slain. And so, the Lord Jesus is saying, come, come. And we have this in Revelation 22, come. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And whosoever will come, let him that's been thirsty thirst no more. Praise God. The Lord's going to come and take us to our chambers, our hiding place, while his indignation goes on upon the earth, called the 7 years of great tribulation. So the first prophetic picture and the timing of all of it, in order, as it is in all the Bible, in Psalm 46. For God is our refuge, our hiding place. And yes, there is a river that shall make glad the city of our God, that dwelling place where the bride will live. And that will all happen in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. Where will we go? We'll go to the throne of God. Now, let's take a look at that in Revelation 4 and verses 1 and 2. This is where the rapture happens in the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 4. Verses 1 and 2. Now, the Lord had just finished telling John all about the things of the church in chapters 2 and 3 of Revelation. And the tribulation period starts in chapter 6. And in chapter 4, verse 1, we have the rapture of the church before the tribulation period. the indignation of the Lord coming upon the earth, as we saw in Isaiah 26, after he says, come, come to your chambers prepared for you, where you will hide until the indignation be past. After this I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was it were like a trumpet saying to me, come. Connection with Isaiah 26. You know, the Bible is so perfect. You can look for different buzzwords and just connect them with different scripture. And it's so exciting to find these things. And so the trumpet says, come up here, and I will show you the things which must be hereafter. It's the Greek word metatauta. It means after the things of the church. And immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And what is at the throne? I saw a river proceeding out of the throne of God. And on either side of the river, on either side of the streets, was the tree of life. And it goes on, and we just read that in Revelation 22. So I'm your refuge, says the Lord. And there is a river. There is a river that makes glad the city of God. And so here we have pictured beautifully, along with God's rescue from surf at Huntington Beach Pier, and God's rescue of every problem you ever face in this earth, that final rescue when you'll be zapped out of here to the throne of the living God. And you're going to see that river proceeding out of the throne of God, clear as crystal. And we sing that song, don't we? Shall we gather at the river? Ever heard that one? I don't know, maybe you don't know that one. But anyway, it is a hymn, and it's true as things get. And so this first prophetic picture, right here in the first five verses of Psalm 46, is the rapture of the church, in my opinion, with the refuge and the hiding place being prepared for us while God deals with the indignation he has to deal with here upon the earth called the tribulation period. So the second picture then we have in Psalm 46 prophetically is the tribulation period itself. Let's go back to Psalm 46. Okay, Psalm 46 and verse 6, it says this, the heathen or the nations raged, the kingdoms were moved, he uttered his voice, the earth melted, and we have that in all the translations that I looked at, the earth melted here in the King James, and guess what, Peter lets us know that that's really going to happen. And we'll see that in a minute. But let's look at the next verse. Verse 7 says, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our hiding place. So right now, what I see from the psalmist here is very simply this, prophetically, that the heathen are going to rage. The Antichrist is going to wave his fist at Jesus Christ. And all the nations are going to be turning more and more against the Lord Jesus. Man, I'll never forget that a few years back Larry King Live, I believe it was, there was a couple of European diplomats, and Larry King was asking them, why don't you like President Bush? And they hemmed and they hawed and so forth, but they finally got to the point. We don't like that he has faith. We don't like that because we're secular, and politics should be secular. Humanism, this false religion called humanism, here that we're being taught or our kids are being taught in our schools, and what good has that done? Gee, man, when I was in school, we heard a guy had smoked a marijuana cigarette, and everybody's going, but now that's nothing. And why is that? God's been kicked out of school. We all know that. 1960, God was just given the boot right out of school. And humanism is the new religion. That's an ugly thing. It's a thing that's taking over the minds of the world. So Europe was real interested in President Bush being secular, not having faith. They put that down and persecuted him for that. So the heathen rage. The kingdoms were moved. But the Lord's going to utter his voice, and the earth, ladies and gentlemen, is going to melt. But while the earth melts, and while these other things go on in the what's called the tribulation period, and of course the earth melting is way past the tribulation period, but it says this about us, the Lord of hosts, the Lord that's king and in charge of all the armies of heaven, is with us. He's with us. He's going to watch over you. He's going to rapture you out of here before his indignation and wrath falls upon the earth. The God of Jacob is our hiding place. Come into your chambers and hide a while until the indignation be overpassed. I'm quoting again from Isaiah 26. Come, verse 8, behold the works of the Lord, what desolation he has made in the earth. And the Lord is going to pour out his wrath upon this planet. And we don't have far to go before that begins to happen. And so this second section of scripture from verses 6 through 8, may I submit to you, this is a picture of the tribulation period and the very end of all things upon the earth, when the earth melts. Now let's take a look at the melting scriptures in the New Testament. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10. And there's some neat exhortations here for us as Christians concerning these realities. 2 Peter chapter 3 in the New Testament. 2 Peter 3, starting at verse 10. Let's just read these melting scriptures that Peter gives us, really confirming and enlarging upon Psalm 46, verse 6. The day of the Lord will come. And whenever you see the day of the Lord, it's not referring to the rapture, it's referring to God's judgment upon the earth. Whenever you read about the day of the Lord, it's talking about judgment. The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements, all the elements on the periodic table that you might see in your science class in high school or college, are going to melt. I believe there's 112 elements now. And gold is one, silver is one, hydrogen, and so forth. Anyway, it says this, that these elements shall melt with fervent heat. And the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Now the Lord has promised with the rainbow, he'll never flood the earth again. He's going to burn it. I don't know which is worse, but he's going to burn it the second time. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy manner of living and godliness? Now, that's verse 11 of chapter 3 of 2 Peter. Are you guys there? Did I lose some of you? 2 Peter 3, 11. So the exhortation here for us is this. How should your living be and my living be, seeing that these things are going to actually happen? Psalm 46, prophetically speaking forward to 2 Peter 3. That all of the elements of the earth are going to melt with fervent heat, and the earth will be burned up. And so we're told here that since we know this, that all things are going to be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy living, conversation, and godliness? Just that exhortation of walking in a godly way. You want to listen to your sensitive conscience, energized by the Holy Spirit, to walk away from those things that you know that are not of the Lord. This is the way we should live. And we should be filled with all holiness and righteousness. Be holy, for I am holy, says the Lord. Come out from among them, the people of the world, and be separate. And I will be your God, and you will be my people. So we need to take this seriously and be very serious-minded with God, living in the fear of the Lord, respecting Him. If you fear the Lord, you won't be afraid of other people and other things. But if you don't fear the Lord, you'll be afraid of everything. Everything will scare you. But if you have a true respect for God and put Him in His rightful place and cry unto Him, He will deliver you from all your fears. And that is a wonderful place to be. To just go ahead and receive that peace that passes understanding. Because as we look with our understanding, nature can scare the bejunior out of you. And what's going on with the nations can do just the same. But God is stable. These things are not stable. God is stable. And so we begin to live in a holy manner of living and all godliness, helped and empowered by the Holy Spirit. That's the only way we can do it. So we've got to ask Him every day to help us with it. Looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. And so again, that fulfillment happening. Now, the thing is this, is that it's good to look for and hasten unto the coming of our God, the coming of the day of God. That's biblical, to want that to happen, for the Lord to come. And so when we get excited about that as Christians, don't let people tell you you're too heavenly minded to be any earthly good. No. When you are heavenly minded, then you're going to be earthly good because you're serious about your faith. You're doing all you can to live godly. Therefore, you're a greater witness to them to turn and not burn. Because it's all going to burn. All of it's going to burn. It just is. Sherry and I have taken a stance for years now about our car. Whatever car we've got, if it gets a ding in it or a dent or whatever, use duct tape. It just doesn't matter. Because we say to each other, it's all going to burn. And actually, we got that from Pastor Chuck, and those of you that listen to him and know him know that that's what he teaches. And I found out last night on the radio, maybe some of you heard the message, how that began with Pastor Chuck. It's all going to burn. He was given a brand new convertible from a dealership, from one of the members of his congregation. And he had told the man, he says, I always buy used cars. He says, I want to give you a car of your choice. The Chuck went down and picked out the car. It was this beautiful convertible. And the guy said, what options would you like? And he says, well, I don't know. I don't want options or whatever. He says, you can have whatever you want. So Chuck just said, well, give them all to me then. So he got all the options on this car. It's a beautiful car. And he drives to Alpha Beta on his way home to get some milk. His wife had asked him to get some milk. And while he was in getting his milk, somebody drove up next to his brand new spanking car he just brought from the car lot and slammed their door against the side of it and put a dent in his door. And he came out. He was so mad. And he started looking if there was any color of paint on his car so he could find the car that, you know, by matching paint, you know. And he said that as he drove home, this is a fresh testimony, so I can repeat it from his mouth straight to you. He drove home thinking, I hate people. He said, I hate people, you know, and he just got all upset. And when he got home, his son, Chuck Jr., happened to be at his house. And he says, well, Dad, let me take a look at that new car, you know. He went out and he saw the dent. He said, "Dad, what happened? What is this?" And got Chuck all fired up again. And his son looked at him and said, "Dad, it's going to burn. It's going to burn." Finally, he sold the car after a few years. And the person that bought the car forgot to do the transfer or whatever with the DMV. So he would get notices about the car from time to time. And the last notice he got is it was found out in the valley somewhere by the freeway, all burned up. And he said, sure enough, what his son said was true. Prematurely, it's all going to burn. And so how should we live in light of that? Just take life a little less seriously, keep a lighter touch, and just look to the Lord. And just know any minute now, that trumpet could sound and you'd hear the voice, "Come up here." And man, when you hear this, it's going to be music to our ears, isn't it? Come up here, and bam, you're up there. There you are before the Lord. It's going to be a great day, a great day. And so there you are. So this second section of scripture then, verses 6 through 8, really referring to the tribulation period and to an event that will happen years later, actually, when the Lord finally burns up the earth. After the thousand-year reign is when that actually happens. And the earth, then he will make a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwells righteousness. And so just remembering the verse in between the two verses there, verse 7, saying the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, our hiding place. And we will be hid from the wrath of God. For God has not appointed us to wrath, but to the obtaining of salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Now the last prophetic picture that we see in Psalm 46 is that of the restoration of the earth. The restoration of the earth. And so let's go back now to Psalm 46 and take a look at this last section here. Verse 9, I love verse 9. He makes wars to cease, no more wars. Hallelujah. Verse 9, Psalm 46. He makes wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaks the bow. He cuts the spear in half. He burns the chariot in the fire. And then the exhortation, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. And when Jesus comes to reign on this earth, he will be exalted in this earth. All the nations, the Bible says in Zechariah, will come to Jerusalem year by year at the Feast of Tabernacles to hear the King teach. What a blessing, what a conference that'll be. And I imagine with his thundering voice, he can whisper in everyone's ear as he teaches. With his thundering voice, he can whisper in everyone's ear. I like that line. It's the kind of thing that was in the books. That remember that 85 books? No, 8 books? 16 books? What's the name of that series? The Left Behind series. I'm thinking, I don't know, there's a lot of books. Anyway, at the end, it talks about when Jesus is there among everyone, he can whisper in our ears personally. And that's just a blessed thought. Be still and know that I am God. Yes, nature rages. Yes, the nations rage, the heathen rage. But be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts of the armies of heaven is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Now, take a look at a couple things here. Verse 9 again. He makes wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in sunder. He burns the chariot in the fire. Now, there is a scripture in Isaiah that is parallel to this that is very well known, and there's a song that was written about it. So let's go to Isaiah chapter 2, verse 4. He makes the wars to cease. No more wars. Isaiah chapter 2 and verse 4. Isaiah 2:4. This chapter is entitled The Lord's House to be Established. The Lord's House to be Established. Verse 4. He shall judge among the nations. He shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares. So they're going to take their swords and make plowing instruments anymore. And so that prophetic word that fits Psalm 46. They're not going to learn about war anymore. Right now, people are furiously, unendingly thinking about war, war games. What happens if they shoot the first missile, etc., etc.? What about this attack and that attack? And and the governments of every nation, they're thinking about war, thinking about how to get the bomb, how to get to be number one, how to get to the top of the pyramid. And the nations that are at the top of the pyramid, like our nation, how are we going to stay at the top of the pyramid? Learning about war, learning about these things all the time. But the day will come when the judge arrives. He will judge among the nations. He shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. He causes the wars to cease unto the end of the earth. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now the song, how many remember the Carousel of Progress at Disneyland? Yeah, a few of you. There's chickens. At the end of that carousel that sing, they won't learn war anymore. And I forget how the song exactly goes. I think my wife had it for a minute the other day. We were trying to sing it, but I don't even remember that. But even at Disneyland and the Carousel of Progress, and this is where Pastor Bill's office was for like 20 years over at Disneyland. And that's where he worked before he came here to be our the administrative pastor here and pastoring with us. But he worked at Disneyland for all those years. And he was his office was in the above the Carousel of Progress, and you go into this carousel and you see, you know, the invention of the wheel or whatever, I can't remember, and then you see covered wagons or whatever, and you see progress, and at the very end, the chickens are singing, "We won't learn war anymore," and they're singing this old, I think it's a spiritual from the days of slavery and stuff. Am I right about this, Brother Marvin? Do you remember this song? Don't learn war anymore. You remember that one? Yeah. And anyway, so America Sings. I'm sorry. That's what it was called, America Sings. But anyway, they're singing that. And I thought, wow. A few years back, even at Disneyland, the whole end of the whole thing is that they won't learn war anymore, taken straight from Isaiah chapter 2. But of course, that's gone from Disneyland, and now we have whatever's going on over there now, and with the whole gay thing, you know, and all that junk that goes on. But, you know, we used to be there, and it's a wonderful thing to think about. For one day it'll be true, for Jesus will come for you and me. But this idea of being still is really our salvation. Though the earth be removed, though the mountains be cast into the sea, we will not fear. We will not fear. For the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. And we need to be still before him. Be still and know that I am God. He's the one stable thing that we have. Folks that don't know the Lord have no stability at all. Their house is built upon the sand, and they're in a very shaky place. But our house is built upon the rock, and we have the stability of sitting still and seeing the salvation of the Lord. as God said to Moses at the Red Sea, stand still. For Moses said from the Lord to the people, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. So we end with this last verse we want to look at that really brings out that idea about our salvation. And so let's take a look at Isaiah chapter 30, verse 15. Done a lot of work in Isaiah tonight. Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 15. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 15. Isaiah 30, 15. Yeah. Thus says the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning, meaning returning to Him, and rest shall you be saved. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. So that's quite a word, isn't it? And it reminds you of Jesus saying, come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Thus says the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest shall you be saved. In quietness, be still, and know that I am God. And in confidence, confidence in Him shall be your strength. Beautiful to remember that. So when our minds are going a million miles an hour, we just stop and look to Him in confidence in Him, in quietness before Him, returning to Him and allowing Him to give us rest. There's our salvation. And no matter what comes along, through nature, through nations, through whatever, God is there as our stable, wonderful rock. Amen. Hey, let's stand and pray together. Father, thank you so very much, Lord, for these songs of triumph. 46, 47, 48. We're looking forward to 47, 48, Lord. Thank you so much for the victory you've given us in Jesus Christ. And Father, we do pray that you would sharpen us to live rightly through the power of your Holy Spirit. And right now, Father, in Jesus' name, we pray that you would fall upon us afresh and anew, Lord. Fall upon this dear congregation, Lord, right now in Jesus' name. Power us, Lord. Bring the dunamis power into our hearts and lives to walk straight, narrow with you, Father, to keep on trucking for you, Jesus, to keep the smiles up and the forgiving hearts alive, that others might be drawn to know you in a deep, spiritual, wonderful way. And Lord, that we would learn to be quiet. And we need to be quiet, Lord, to have great confidence in you. Be walking sure-footed with you, Lord. Thank you for making us sure-footed, Lord. You make us as hinds with hinds feet in high places, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So we'll go further in, further up. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Thus says the Lord, truly, I am with you. My grace goes before you. My death is behind you, and you are liberated to walk in me, to talk in me, and to allow me to live my life again through you. I will never, ever call you to the death I had to face. But I will ask you to run the race, to die the small death I've asked you to die, because you're the apple of my eye. I call you to true sonship, to the fellowship of my suffering, and to the power of my resurrection. Thank you, Jesus. So thank you so much, Lord. Father God, thank you for all that you're doing and saying. Thank you. Love you, Jesus. Thank you. If you would like to stay for prayer for anything, John Luke is making his way to the prayer room. You need to clear things up with God. If you need to get saved tonight, get saved. You don't have long. And it's not a thing of cheap grace. It's a thing of confessing your sin, yeah, and forsaking your sin in Jesus' name. Asking God to forgive you and save you. And he will do it. You can just make your way to the prayer room right there if you'd like. May the Lord bless you now. May God just edify and build you up in the Spirit. Keep you safe and strong from the things of the world, as there is a great falling away in the last days. That will be coming. Stand strong, be firm. And in the times of fear wanting to break in, stand still and see the salvation of your Lord. He loves you so much. God bless you and keep you. In Jesus' name, amen.